Fay and I are in our 33rd year as part of this church family. In that period of time, it's been my privilege to serve in three different roles, one as preaching minister, one as minister to older adults, and to help form a resource center for families who are dealing with caring for our loved ones and facing the end of life. The third is just being a part of the church family for seven of those years. And let me tell you, there's something to be said for life on the pew. But if you'll just permit me just a moment of reflection, because it would be awfully easy for me to just be filled with nostalgia and just give my entire time to that. But during those years, our family has been no different from yours. We have seen the birth of grandchildren. We have experienced the death of parents. We have been filled with joy, and we've been brokenhearted. And regardless what those emotions may have been, two things we have always been able to count on. Number one, the Lord was with us. And number two, so were you. And so out of that humility and out of that gratitude and that appreciation, We look back on those years, and this morning Chris took that same journey and focused on children and reminded us how that had impacted his life. And for me, it's been a journey with so many of you in your marriages. I don't remember the first of the ceremonies. I'm not like Chris, I'm not that well organized, don't journal. But I thought it was interesting this morning when we opened our bulletin and saw that Owen and Wendy Lipscomb are celebrating their 30th anniversary this month, and I presided at that wedding. And I'm looking at the Bradfords, and we were there, and they're here, still here. Their sons are adults. And we are sharing two generations with many of you. I came here with elders the age of my father. And now I serve with David Solomon, who went to high school with my children. That's what age can do for you. And you know, when we think of all of those couples that we shared that time with, it's interesting sometimes how we express it in our culture. Ken and Paula Neal's daughter, Danielle, we were involved with them in their marriage. And their daughter and our granddaughter have been friends in school. And when they were about kindergarten age, one day they had been with them, and our granddaughter, Graham and Morgan, were friends. And so Letty said to Graham, "Pop married Morgan's mother." The car got very quiet. She looked in the mirror, and of course Graham was still in a car seat about that time, and she said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she said, "What did Pop do with Mimi while he was married to Morgan's mother?" But that's the kind of joy that family brings, isn't it? I remember the first social event that we were invited to. Harvey and Virginia Floyd invited us in their home to have a meal with the international class. Missions were already part of the DNA of this church. Events, those columns, remind us that 25 years ago, we doubled the size of this auditorium. Half of those 50 years living in this expanded facility in which we could worship. There's so many other events that we remember, celebrations. But let me tell you one that I will place at the very, very top of my list of experiences that I am tremendously grateful for. On August the 17th, 1997, our elders came to me and said, there's something that you might like to do. And I agreed. And I was able to introduce Chris Smith as our minister. That's not why I'm here. I was told that we needed a word from the Lord. My, what a daunting task. Well, why don't we just go to the greatest sermon ever preached? Good place to begin. And out of those chapters in Matthew, there's that one verse that today just jumps at me. It's in the 5th chapter, verse 41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. We all know the background. The Roman occupation of Palestine was such that an official could say to any citizen, you are conscripted to carry a burden, to follow an order, but just for a certain distance. And beyond that, not one step is required. When Jesus reflected on this, he said, why don't we turn the tables? Why don't we show what it's like to live differently? And so he suggested going beyond. Today, we are celebrating going beyond. O.S. Hawkins, in his book, The Joshua Code, said, incidentally, the second mile is where the Lord himself walked. He knows that road very well. It was love that took him, and I love this phrase, to the miracle mile. It led him to the cross. Oh, he journeyed. He stepped out of heaven into human flesh. He walked the mandated mile that was motivated by the law. He kept every detail with a spoken word. And the one who formed the universe, the one who formed and fashioned us with his own hands, said, I love you and I'll walk with you every step. I love what N.T. Wright has to say about this. He says, the Sermon on the Mount isn't just about how to behave. It's about discovering the living God, the loving and the dying Jesus, and learning to reflect that love into the world that really needs it. How does that look? Briefly, let's explore 4 dimensions. One of my favorite places in Washington, D.C. is the National Archives. That building houses the great documents and the values and the code of behavior for our nation. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, those kinds of things. But outside, on the 4 corners of that building, are 4 statues. They are called the Sentinels. Those Sentinels represent 4 great values, love and family, home and family rather, protection, history, and things to come. Well, those are pretty good guideposts for our nation, but they're even better for our family here at Harpeth Hills. Those are spiritual values. And they're great reminders today as we celebrate that these 4 things need to guide us. Number one, as we think of home and family, there's heritage. It suggests that the that heritage is the seed of the past that brings forth the harvest of the future. And if you'll look, that statue is holding a child. That's looking back, isn't it? But it's also looking ahead, because there is that harvest, that sheaf of grain. Heritage. Chris has already mentioned it. You're going to receive a book today that will be something that you will treasure, I know, the rest of your life. But our history didn't begin in the 1800s. It began in the mind of God. Scripture tells us that before he formed the earth, before he laid the foundations, he had us in mind, and he settled on us as the focus of his love. And then 77 generations later, just when the time was right, Christ was born. And our walk began with him, and it continues until he comes back. As we look back, we think of tradition. Tradition, someone said, means giving votes to the most obscure of all classes, our ancestors. I was just thinking of the language of the 145th Psalm. And in the language of that, today we're reminded of the interplay between the past and the present. Listen, great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. And then listen, they will speak to your glorious splendor, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. I will proclaim your deeds. Do you see the interplay? As generations upon generations interact. And that's the value of heritage. And then there is guardianship. There's the helmet. But there is that also, that Roman symbol of power. Those sticks that are bound together with rope. And we're thinking that sometimes God's word just speaks better than we can. Guardianship. Stand firm. With the belt of truth around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, gospel of peace on your feet. In addition to that, take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and then pray. Pray always. Pray in the Spirit. Guardianship. And then there's the past. The past in which the book is closed. And the inscription says, just study it. Power of memory. This morning, Chris, in a tremendous reminder of that, turned to the book of Joshua and talked about when the Israelites were told to gather those 12 stones and to take them into the promised land, and when their children asked, what are these stones about? And they would be told, that's when God led us. That's when God took care of us. Three times we have the song of Moses in the Bible. Every time it says, this is what God did for us. And over, in our world today, we need to keep on repeating that reminder of what God has done. And you know, as we do that, we look at that bound symbol of power, the fasces, and we're reminded that isolation is dangerous. The scripture says that a strand that has three cords in it isn't easy to break. That's why we have community. That's why we have church. That's why we have family. But the past, the book is closed. You know, this morning again, Chris reminded us that the value of history and the value of that reminder of those stones was not only to look back, but to remind Israel that God was getting ready to do something for them tomorrow. And so we stand today on that threshold. And as powerful as our reminder today has been, that's not all there is to it. I love John Meacham's new book, The Soul of America. And he says that one of the points of reflecting on the past is to prepare us for action in the present. We're here today to celebrate that. C.S. Lewis, in The Chronicles of Narnia, in that seventh book, which is entitled The Last Battle, concludes the entire work with these words. For us, this is the end of the story. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, and in which every chapter is better than the last. The statue says, all past is prologue.